Y'all ready for this? Connor's fist pumping. It is mock draft time. We have been, I don't want to say slacking, we've been very busy this spring. We have
busy.
Been.
There was news, things we were working on, things we are still working on. There's just been a lot going on.
Career stuff too, between the two of us. Yep. That's been a lot. But we're here.
Finally. Finally, we are here. Putting out our first mock draft of the CFL draft season.
I do. Technically, this is mock draft Monday for us. You guys are going to hear the episode on Tuesday, but it is
mock draft. It is mock draft Monday for us. And I do have to give an apology to one of our loyal listeners, Wintry Knight. We have been slacking on the mock draft. I think it's been like 3 weeks of me telling him, no, it'll be up next week. It'll be up next week. It'll be up next week. I promise. It's coming out today. It's here. We're not teasing you anymore. Tuesday, Wintry Knight, this episode is draft. I promise you. Three-round mock draft, collaborative draft between Wade and myself. We are doing three rounds, all 29 picks.
With that being said, Connor, what are your predictions for the Calgary Stampeders 2024 season record? I mean, no, let's go into let's go into the draft. Okay, how do we want to start this? Do you want to start at the top? Do we want to start
at the top?
All right, so
round one, Edmonton Elks, pick one.
They lost Adam Konar. They go and get the pro-ready linebacker from which pro league in the States? I don't know. Joel DeBlanco, come on down. I don't know if it's a foregone conclusion that he's the number one, Connor, but he makes the most sense in terms of plug-and-play players. And yeah, I think that really intrigues Chris Jones. I think it really intrigues the rest of the league, but he's the one that has a chance to take him right away. I don't think he hesitates on this one. Chris Jones running it up for the first overall pick.
Could you see, just to play kind of hypothetically here, could you see Chris Jones trading out of this pick potentially?
Connor, we saw this 2 years ago where he, on the last day, he just went, nah, I don't want it.
Yeah, I feel like the answer to that question is like, it's Chris Jones. We can see anything happen with that guy.
As long as the sunglasses are on, anything's possible.
Anything's possible. But that is the first pick as of right now. I feel, you feel, I think the consensus amongst the league feels DeBlanco is likely going to be the pick. Whether it's Edmonton or not remains to be seen. Let's move on to pick number two. We were a little bit different in what we wanted to do with this pick. Nonetheless, we landed on Nick Mardner, wide receiver for the Ottawa Redblacks here. I will let you explain this pick a little bit because I was rallying for a defensive guy.
I just think that the weakest point on the Redblacks roster has been offensive playmakers. And they have had good receivers and they've had a really good receiving core, but I think a lot of their playmakers are on the back nine of their careers, whether it's hole 10 or hole 17. I think that it's time to start looking at getting younger. And you bring in Dom Rhymes, and he's going to be a big leadership component in that room. But go get another big-bodied receiver. Go get Nick Mardner from Auburn, Hawaii, and Cincinnati. Someone who just goes downfield and makes plays consistently. I think that with Mardner, Drew Brown, the rest of the receivers, they're going to put up a competitive group. I just think that they've spent so much capital on offensive linemen and their defense has been so solid over the last few years that they're sitting here going, okay, how do we push this offense over the hump and give our defense some breaks during games?
Yeah, for sure. I think when we're looking at this too, dissecting the Redblacks roster a little bit, there's a lot of receivers, but I wouldn't say there's a lot of wow. So I do like the fit of Nick Mardner here. Nonetheless, I think for Ottawa, if they do want to sit and wait for defensive talent, you can get a lot of damn good talent in some of the later rounds here as well, second, third, fourth. There's a ton of defensive talent that's going to be sitting around.
All right, Connor, you get the third overall pick then, the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Been waiting for this guy for years. Gabe Wallace, out of the University of Buffalo, a nasty, nasty, nasty offensive lineman. We talk about this often with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. No matter who's at quarterback, protect the assets. It's been a bit of point of contention in Ryderville. Gabe Wallace, another one of these guys. You know, we talked about Joel DuBlanco being plug and play. I think Gabe Wallace is a similar type along the offensive line, whatever you need him to do. Guard, I think he's a guard in my eyes. Pulling guard, true pulling guard. But yeah, this guy is nasty, man.
All right. I think this is a consensus pick across the board here from what I've seen in terms of mock drafts from other people. But Calgary at number four, Connor, where are they going?
They need DB help. Correct me if I'm wrong. Any Calgary fans out there, I'm sure you will. But Calgary needs DB help. They're going to go get some here. The top of the draft, a guy that has rocketed up draft boards. But you had your eye on him very early. Benjamin LeBrosse from McGill University. Man, what is not to love about this guy? What is not to love about this guy? Size, skill, feet, athleticism, goodness gracious. Fantastic DB. I think they're really going to be able to work with him. And I don't think it's going to be, you know, too long before we see Ben LeBrosse in red and white.
Staying in red and white, that is. Okay, number five. I like this one a lot. We've got the Toronto Argonauts. Kind of a different look this year at their receiver room. Obviously, with Dejon Brissett being the guy sticking around and is expected to take on a huge role. No Curly Gittens, but they're going to go and get another U Sports receiving star in Kevin Mitau. I think he put a lot of questions to bed, if there were any, at the combine. The tape speaks for itself. The off-the-field situation from last September was kind of thrown out the window when people realized what it really was. I think that Kevin Mitau is not leaving the first round. I think Toronto's going to take him and just use him in a wide variety of ways along that offense. Instant impact, I think, across these most of these first-round picks so far.
No, I agree. I do think that Toronto is going to use this opportunity to go out and hopefully find that replacement for Curly Gittens Jr. I think Kevin Mitau at the combine just reassured everybody of what they thought and knew that he was coming off of that Het Kuyt'n winning campaign. Kevin Mitau, I think for my money, is one of the top three receivers in this draft class. Obviously, in this mock draft, we have him as the number two receiver coming off the board here. But Kevin Mitau to Toronto, I like it as a replacement for Curly Gittens Jr.
Number six, BC Lions, Boston College, so BC to BC, Kyle Hergel, offensive lineman.
Tell me what you like. Tell me what you like.
Just solid player overall, a lot of experience at Boston College. With BC, I think they're just trying to fill in depth on that O-line. They've got a group that they like. Obviously, the group is getting older, like Suk Chung is getting up there in age, but they're going to start piecing away with depth and building behind it. Hergel's going to be a good fit there. Lots to learn from in that room, and I think they'll be able to develop him pretty well over the next couple of years.
No, I 100% agree. And just, you know, maybe for some of our listeners out here, let's go through why maybe this isn't a Giovanni Manu or a Theo Benedict. Because I'm sure looking at this mock draft, you're like, you know, Gio's on the board, Theo's on the board, bring him back to BC. Why aren't you doing this? So why aren't we doing this?
Gio Manu, I think, is simple. We won't see him until the later rounds. taking top 30 visits to go and interview with teams is certainly a promising sign. I have not heard about Theo Benedict taking those same interviews, which is why I don't think he goes in the first round. I think there's a chance that he gets picked up, a very good chance that he's at an NFL mini camp and training camp invites, which will hurt his own draft stock. But I think that Gio is for sure going to be gone. Theo, I think, is just going to slide his stock a little bit, like we saw with Carter O'Donnell 4 years ago. Mind you, he went 18th overall, and we haven't seen him a single second in the CFL.
Not once. Carter O'Donnell has not come back north of the border. I like the explanation. Let's move on. The Hamilton. Ooh, my bad. I am correct. Let's move on. The Hamilton Tiger Cats picking 7th overall. Malik Straker, the former Carleton Raven turned Arkansas State product. This guy is damn talented, super tenacious. We started watching his tape and he popped. Gets after the ball, gets his nose on and around the football. You know, some people might balk a little bit at the 5'10". I don't. The way this guy moves, the way he plays in the box, his sense of the game, his ability to be around the football is incredible. So I do really like Malik Straker here to the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Playmakers, playmakers, playmakers. I feel like Hamilton has gone along that stretch quite a few times. It usually seems to work out for them. Of course, they traded away Tunde Adeleke. They've got Stavros. Malik Straker, a good fit to go inside here, especially with their defense kind of taking on this whole new look. Now Simone's gone too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think Straker's going to be a guy that's, you know, going to come in and challenge and fit in this Hamilton unit nicely, whether it's, you know, contributing as a monster on special teams or getting some opportunities to play a little bit along the front 7. But let's move on to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, getting one of the more raw prospects, but definitely a very promising talent, the defensive lineman from the Laurier Golden Hawks, Luke Brubaker. The
streak continues.
We say this all the time, man. Golden Hawks just go. We talked about this with Marsh, but I think one of the things that's still so jaw-dropping to me is the fact that this dude comes out, runs a 4.69 at 6'5", almost 250 pounds. He's an animal. And I know we didn't see him a lot in the OUA, but when we did, he was a game breaker. He was a game changer.
I think with Brubaker, here's the intriguing part to me with Winnipeg. Okay. We had Jackson Jeffcoat, Willie Jefferson. Okay. Now add in to learn from that, to grow with the coaching, the system, the most physically gifted prospect in this year's draft. I don't think that's a stretch to say. To be his size, to move the way he moves, to have the power that he possesses, Luke Brubaker is the most elite, unique athlete that this draft has to offer. And it just so happens that he's damn good at playing football, even though he's only done it for 3 years. He played a lot with injuries last year, but as Connor said, he came in spots to mess the game up. They knew, well, Jesus, 60% of Luke Brubaker for 4 snaps in a game is enough to make a difference in us winning and losing. And you saw it in the playoff game against Windsor. They put him in spots. He went and demolished whatever tackle was in front of him and made the quarterback change his trajectory, change his throw, or just get the ball out quick. He's elite through and through. And I think Winnipeg is going to luck into something here to turn it over the next couple of years.
Somebody's going to lock into something here. It might not be Winnipeg when all said and done, but somebody is going to lock their way into Luke Brubaker, and it is going to be a treat to watch for all CFL fans out there. 9th pick and final pick in the first round, Montreal, the reigning Grey Cup champion, Montreal Alouettes. I do have to throw that in. We have them mocking. They aren't drafting necessarily, but we have them mocking Justin Sambu, the defensive lineman from Baylor. They drafted Lual Uguak from Texas Christian University last year. We see him getting a look in the NFL now, so he's not going to be on the Montreal Alouettes roster this year. What do? They go out, they draft Sambu, plug and play, a very similar type player to Lual Uguak. They're friends, I believe. They grew up together. So I think this one is just seamless for Sambu replacing Uguak.
Yeah, I think Sambu is a good one-to-one replacement for the Montreal Alouettes. A lot of upside here, a lot of promise. Just when it comes down to it, he's not a caravan corner, so I can't fully agree with this pick. But no, I think it just makes too much sense. Brubaker off the board, go get a similar talent to what we just had that was so effective for us in the previous year.
Absolutely. that rounds it out for the first round of our three-round mock draft. We'll move into round two here. We'll start to speed the picks up a little bit too, because you know we know that fans and folks are really here for the first round, and then everything after that is just extra, right? So let's get into round two, starting it off with the Edmonton Elks. We have them mocking defensive lineman Daniel Okpoko. So to recap, we have some monstrous defensive linemen coming off the board here with these three picks. We have Luke Brubaker, Justin Sambu, Daniel Okpoko going back to back to back. And we are not done, because I'm not gonna let this list end here. At 11, we have the Ottawa Redblacks taking Tyson Hergott. So 9 is eight is Brubaker, 9 is Sambu, 10 is Okpoko, 11 is Tyson Hergott, and the run of defensive linemen starts at 8 with Winnipeg and ends at 11 with Tyson Hergott. Talk about that run of 4, though, because gosh damn.
I think it's more just a look at what do we need, what do we value, how do we value these players. And to have Brubaker come off the board, like I said, like that's him going to learn behind Willie Jefferson, also Marsh's favorite sideline reporter now. Sorry, guys. But Okpoko, NCAA, flexible defensive end, fits a lot of boxes for Chris Jones. Sambu, like we talked about, is just a one-to-one replacement for Guac. 11 with Hergott is where I think Ottawa goes, okay, how can we impact the game with a unique body type? And I think Hergott's tape has spoken for itself over the last couple of years. When they go heavy offense, heavy offense, heavy offense, they open it up receiver. I think we just start to look at best available defenders, and Hergott fits into that mold. Would not surprise me if Ottawa went linebacker here in the second round either, given the loss of Adam Auclair.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and at this point in our mock draft, Jeffrey Canton-Aircou is still on the board. You know, wouldn't shock me in the slightest to see Ottawa take a stab at a guy like him, or a guy like Straker if he's still there, given that previous Carlton connection. But here we have them going Tyson Hergott, and I love this pick because they have a similar player already on their roster along the offensive line in Cyril Hogan-Saint-Don, who is not afraid to get dirty and, you know, maybe take a penalty that his coaches aren't going to love. Tyson Hergott is a similar type guy. He's going to get in your face. He's going to be nasty. Maybe the flag comes out, but you'll live with it when Hergott is making the type of plays that he's playing, that he's making, and playing the brand of football that he does play. Let's move on. Saskatchewan Rough Riders taking a Saskatchewan Husky, Nick Weeb, coming off the board, going to Ryderville, staying home. It just makes too much sense for me.
Okay, so let me list out the linebackers that they have. So they got Thurman and they got Adam Auclair this year. Plus, they already have a good group. For me, this is a futures pick.
Yep.
Weeb is coming off an ACL tear. Usually they're about 8 months, which would put him like end of July. I think they just let him sit this year, get the pick, get in the room, get with our guys, build him up. It's not a big move for him already being in province. And they secure a linebacker for the future who's going to be a top-end player. Like, this guy was going to be a top-round pick or early second round if he was healthy. I think they just say, screw it, let's get him in the room. We'll live with the ACL not really impacting our team this year, and we'll develop for next year and beyond.
Yeah, and I think this is a really smart long-term play if you're Saskatchewan. Nick Weeb is a hell of a talent. He's already a name. You know, he's a name for us across the country, but he certainly is a name to know in the province of Saskatchewan. So I like Nick Weeb staying home, going to the Riders. Calgary back-to-back, I will let you take it away with these next two picks.
All right, this is where we just kind of went, all right, Calgary's going to take best player available. They're going to dominate at some point in this draft because of the way the stack is. They don't have a third round pick, so they need to take two different opportunities here. And initially we had them going O-line, O-line. And we're like, no, without the third round pick, they're probably going to try to change it up, diversify the rookies a bit more. So we have them going Nathaniel Dumoulin-Duguay from Laval, the sought after offensive lineman. And then the next pick, we have them getting Jeffrey Canton-Aircou from Memphis. He is explosive. He's going to be a playmaker for them. similar to Ben LeBros, he's a flexible defensive talent which could play a lot of positions. And Dumoulin Duguay is going to add a nasty streak with Bryce Bell on that offensive line. They're going to build themselves a nice core of young Canadian talent. I think kind of that model that we've seen from BC, from Toronto, with heavy emphasis on Canadian U Sports offensive linemen is going to start to come into play here in Calgary too.
No, I agree. And we did just talk about a Laval offensive lineman in Cyril Hogan-Saint-Dant. We're talking about another one here in Nathaniel Dumoulin-Duguay, who a tenacious player. Laval just seems to breed offensive linemen that can make an impact. Jeffrey Cantonarcou, his tape speaks for itself. His lateral quickness at his own pro day, take it for what you will. I mean, I know it's a pro day and it's his own guys on the clocks, but his three cone and his lateral drill, his lateral shuttle at his own pro day, he put up really impressive numbers there too. And I love to see that. When I see a linebacker that can move laterally really well, that starts ringing off alarm bells in a good way for me. So these two picks for Calgary, I think, are going to be impact type players. We'll move
absolutely
on.
Yeah, let's go to BC here, because I like this pick a lot. I think we talked about him earlier.
Like it too.
We talked about him earlier. I think BC is going to double dip with offensive linemen first two rounds. Theo Benedet sitting here, they're going to say, okay, enough. If he's going to slide this far, I don't think we're going to get him sliding any further. They're going to take the T-Bird, keep him in province, keep him in city, and let Theo Benedet, if the NFL does not work out, come on home, come back to BC. Let's use our talent pool from the T-Birds that Blake Nell has been developing, and let's put them into the next level and promote them. I think that's one that Amar Demand would be a huge fan of. I think the GM and head coaching staff is going to like the player of Benedet, but the idea and marketability of hometown university, professional hometown is very intriguing for the BC Lions.
I agree. If you can get one of the two, Theo or Gio, to stay in BC, I mean, Gio is a little bit of a different case, and we've talked about that, but if you can get Theo or Gio to come back and play in black and orange, dang, man, that's going to be very, very helpful and instrumental to the success of your offense. These next two picks here, I'll go through a little bit quicker because these are names that you've heard us talk about. These are names you've heard us fawn over. At 16, the Hamilton Tiger Cats selecting Dell Duncan Busby, the wide receiver out of Bemidji State, over double digits this year for the Beavers. Just an absolute playmaker. You know, I know Hamilton does have some wide receivers that can break the game, have some wide receivers that can be really impactful. But again, it's kind of like the Ottawa situation with Hamilton for me. There's not a lot there that really scares me. So go get a guy like Dell Duncan Busby that can diversify your offense. You can use him in so many different ways.
Other than White, I think that statement holds true. But
yes, absolutely. 17, the game breaker I was alluding to. 17, go for
17, Big John Boss from Calgary. Yeah. I think it was Dwayne Ford that called him the human eclipse.
Yes.
I think he looks a lot like Jamarcus Hardrick, like build-wise. I think Winnipeg's going to see that and say, okay, let's develop him. Let's see what we can get out of this guy and see if we can find our tackle for the future here in the second round. 18, Christy Nakanu, a really solid offensive body type. I think Chris Jones just going to go, oh, he has how long of arms, how big of frame, how much has he played? Why is he not picked yet? And I think it's going to come down to him being off the board here at 17 or 18. Big John Boss and Christy Nakanu, I think, are going to come off the board pretty quickly after the first of the pair goes.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm with you. I really like both these picks for both the respective teams. Not done yet here in the second round, but that does close out the official selections. Not official, but the official selections for the second round. There are two picks left, and those are the national picks at the end of the tail. At the tail end here of the second round. Essentially,
used to be territorial
picks. Exactly. These were awarded to the BC Lions and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and these extra national picks basically just award BC and Winnipeg for playing the most Canadians this year and abiding by the new ratio rules the most this year, I suppose. So without further ado, we have two defensive backs going here with these picks. The BC Lions picking up an absolute stud in Tyshawn Blackburn, the threat from the University of Alberta. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers following suit, taking Kalen St. Cyr, the steady, sure-footed corner from the Montreal Caravan, the guy that I absolutely love in this year's draft. He's my Caravan in 2024.
I'm sad that Montreal doesn't have a second rounder, because this would have been...
Me too.
Would have been the spot. I don't think he lasts all the way to the end of three. I don't think they're going to take him in one. So unfortunately, unless they trade, Kalen St. Cyr will not be rejoining his former head coach.
I know.
I like these two guys are phenomenal at all levels of the field. They can play multiple positions. BC, they've had success with Adrian Green over the last couple of years. I think Blackburn's a similar player, a little bit different build, a bit longer than AG, but I don't think he's as thick. So I think they're going to take him, try out, see what they can do. They lost Jalen Edwards-Cooper, so always looking to add depth. Canadian depth doesn't hurt at that, and they've had some luck going with a Canadian safety already and kind of moving him around. All right, on to round three now. We've got Ajo coming from USF, Jayhawk Conference, Clemson. I think Edmonton here is just saying he's a playmaker, that he was a top-ranked recruit out of high school for a reason. He went to Clemson for a reason. I think Chris Jones is going to say, I can tap into this. He doesn't have to be a playmaker right away. We can develop him. Let's use his unique body frame, and let's see what we can get out of a third-round pick as a future playmaker.
I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I think Edmonton is going to look at him and go, we like the NCAA Division I pedigree. We like the priors, and they're going to take a swing on Ajo, see what they can do with him. Moving on, 22, second pick in the third round. The Ottawa Red Blacks getting one of my favorite linebackers in this class, UBC's Ryan Baker. We did give Ottawa Tyson Hergott in the second round, doubling down on the front seven, love, filling in with Ryan Baker. And if you haven't yet, you should definitely go check out this kid's tape, especially his game in the Hardy Cup against the Golden Bears, because he was a monster in that game.
All right, next pick, we're going to rip through this. Ife Onyeka from Carleton going to Saskatchewan. I believe they also drafted Godfrey, so there's some familiarity with the namesake. Number 24 is one I want to talk about a bit more. Michael Chris Ike, the running back from Delaware State, a unique tester at the combine and a huge need for the Argos. I think they're content with their running backs they have, but you lose Harris, you lose Olette, and you lose Javon Leak. I think they're going to try and just fill roles with whoever they can find and go approach by committee. But Michael Chris Ike is a fast power back. You don't see that combination very frequently. I think they're going to kind of rotate him in and see what they can do with him.
I agree. I really do like the Michael Chris Ike pick here for Toronto, and they had success with Daniel Adeboye out of the draft. So why not take another shot on a running back that looks really promising and make yourselves look like geniuses at the running back position if you're the Toronto Argonauts. They're going back-to-back, though, and they've had a lot of success with drafting Canadian offensive line talent out of U Sports. I think they're going to tap into that well again. We have them going with Owen Mueller here, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's still on the board if they did take a shot on a guy like maybe a George Una. But I do believe Mueller, Una, one of those two guys could slot in nicely for the Argonauts.
Here's the theme for you, for the BC Lions. Ryan Berta from Queens. This is three straight offensive linemen. I know we talked about Benedette being a maybe. They also get Tyshawn Blackburn. I think they're just so loaded at weapons offensively. They have such good depth at linebacker. Their D-line, they lost Matthew Betts, but I think they're comfortable with who they have. I think they're just going to grab one of the best players available. Ryan Bird is a strong anchor for them to build around on the offensive line if he develops a little bit more. And maybe they send him back to the Golden Gales for one more season, but He's a guy that I could see just size-wise, stature, strength, being able to stick around for his rookie year.
Certainly, certainly. Berta was a monster at Queens. I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon. Three picks left in this third round. Toronto back on the clock. Their third of three picks here in the third round. And this one, you might be looking at this going, okay, it's a bit of a reach. Is he gonna? Is this really going to be the spot for him? JJ Messier, the York Lion, going to the Toronto Argonauts at 27 here. Is it a reach? Sure, it might be, but they don't have a fourth round pick. And is JJ Messier going to be there in the fifth round? Maybe not. So if he's your guy, if you're the Argos looking over your shoulder going, hey, maybe we can get a guy that's in our own backyard and you want him, this is going to be the spot to take it. And again, defensive line, not necessarily a need, but when you're breaking down their roster, front seven is where they're a little bit light entering camp. So why not bring in players, see what they can do, see if you can develop them, see if they can stick around. Messier might be one of those guys.
28, Lawrence Bowers Canes from Western. Their streak continues in the draft. Really good special teams talent. Athletic as hell at linebacker. They use a lot of linebackers on special teams. Cadwaller, who's Les Maruo. Like, they've got a ton of national and global talent just stacked up there to play on special teams. I think he's going to slide right into that role as well. And to close us out, Connor,
it's not a caravan, but we do have an RSEC player going to the Alouettes.
Antoine Frederick, he had a really interesting combine. He's a good body size, good hands, strong player at the position. I think they're just going to see what they can have. And if he can play specials, he'll play specials. If not, maybe he can develop into a rotational guy, but they have to go with an RSEC player somewhere.
Absolutely, they have to. Absolutely, they have to do that. But that does close it out. Antoine Frederick to the Alouettes for our final pick of our three-round mock. We are not done yet on the draft content coming out as we do approach April 30th. We are super excited here at CFP. So stay tuned with us at CF Perspective, at Wade Zank, at Connor R. O'Neill. Of course, you know where to find Marshall Ferguson at, the draft Canadian football U Sports guru, at TSN_Marsh. And of course, we need to show some love to Fox 40, our wonderful sponsor. So hit their website, fox40shop.com. Make sure you are getting yourself, your team, your players geared up for game day. They have the latest in coaching boards, whistle tech, if you are one of the fantastic referees across this country. Everything that you need to get ready for your upcoming football seasons, because the spring-summer season is starting, as Wade well knows. I'm sure he's geared up with his Fox 40 gear already. Well, you got to check out, use code CFP for 15% off. Again, that is CFP15 at fox40shop.com. That does it for us for this week. We are super excited to get on the draft process, and we will catch you soon. As an MVP.